stand with our standing. And let's just lift our hands to Him. And let's lift our hearts to Him.
Oh, my soul, rejoice.
Oh, Lord, we invite you to take joy. Take joy, my King. Mercy that rewrote our lives.
For it was mercy that rewrote my life.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, it was mercy that rewrote my life. Oh, I should have fallen. My soul cast down, but it was mercy rewrote my life.
Amen. One more time, let's just let them know.
Mercy,
thank you, Lord,
rewrote my life.
Thank you, Lord, for your mercy in our lives.
Oh, mercy, sweet mercy. That rewrote my life.
I should have fallen.
I should have fallen. My soul cast down. But mercy, it rewrote my life.
Aren't you glad for His mercy tonight? Let's just bow our heads, Heavenly Father. Lord, as our prophet said, Lord, there's your judgment and there's your mercy, Lord. And we lift our hands saying, Lord, I want your mercy. And we've experienced your mercy, Lord. And what a sweet thing, Lord, that is, Father. We don't want your judgment, Father. And we are sitting, Lord, in heavenly places tonight because of your mercy, Lord. Not because of what we've done, Lord, but, Lord, that you called us, Lord. We are the called, Lord. We are believe that we are the chosen, Lord, by you, Lord, tonight to be feasting at your table, Lord, even in the presence of our enemies, Lord. We didn't need a seat at their table because you created us your table, Lord. Feasting, Lord, a feast, Father, to fill us, Lord, full, Lord, that we could rejoice, Lord. We wouldn't be sad or downcast, Father, that you can, Lord, tonight, Lord, again, fill us up, refill us, Lord, with all that we need, Lord, and each and every day. We just come before you tonight, Lord, presenting ourselves, presenting our minds, our hearts, our bodies, our reasonings, our affections, our emotions, our consciousness, our imaginations. Take them, Lord, and open our eyes, Lord, and open our faculties, Lord, to see you, Lord, as you are, Lord. May we have a road to Emmaus experience tonight again, because you've opened our eyes before, Lord, and we love it, and it's wonderful to feel our hearts burn, Lord, and we want that again tonight, Lord, and we know that you have it for us, Lord. So, Lord, please take full control and authority of us, Lord, and may every spirit, evil spirit, be bound in Jesus Christ's name that would stop us from receiving and having our eyes open, Lord, and having deliverance and having healing and getting exactly what we need from you, Lord, because we are your children, Lord. We are heirs of the inheritance that you have for us, Lord, and everything that you promise, Lord, you keep, Father, when we apply your word, Lord, and meet your requirements. We thank you now. We just commit each one here tonight in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And the people all said, amen. Yes, you may be seated. Thank you, musicians. It's wonderful. The only drawback to preaching is that you don't get to be a part of the song service except for from the study. But what, Derek? That's true. But then you wouldn't see me feverishly praying and writing one last scripture down would be a little bit distracting, probably. God bless you all. How's everyone?
Good.
Praise God. Wonderful. Before I get into it, I just think, wow, we're seeing prophecy fulfilled again, saints. And how many of you young people ever puzzled over something Brother Branham said and said, how is that ever going to happen? Have you ever had that happen before? You're like, okay, Christian is saying, yeah, right? We're living this. Is how is it going to happen? And then all of a sudden, things kind of, the pieces, it's just like a puzzle, right? Where is those pieces, Zoe? Where is the, and you're looking underneath, and it's right there. But there's just all mixed up. But then the pieces start falling closer and closer together. And then you're starting to see, oh, okay, we now have satellite internet so that way we can be live streaming anywhere in the world. The goal is to have like 45,000 satellites. So now we can stream anywhere and see anything. So now the two prophets slain in the streets, everybody's going to be watching it live. Whereas it was unheard of, unquestionably absurd when it was written by Daniel that, by John, that all the world would see. And then they didn't have Amazon, so they couldn't send gifts today globally or whatever it is to each other to say, hey, here's a suggested gift based on what's happening in current events that these prophets have died. Because they're going to want to capitalize on everything, right? There's going to be t-shirts. I was there. How many things that they'll be able to say? Why would they want to send a gift? We can do these things. I know I was on Facebook today, and Brother Jason Pinkston had gotten clocked in the head by a Frisbee disc, and it actually opened up his head, and he was bleeding from his forehead. And that was like four days ago. And he posted, someone sent him a helmet in the mail. And he says, I don't know who did this, but I'm going to find out. And he's wearing a helmet, the picture, to say, so people send gifts, and they go, oh, and then they can send it from across the country. And so to think, oh, wow, this is a thing that we're doing. It's a novelty. It's easy. And we're seeing that again. We're seeing now, I'm sure Brother Greg probably knows more about this than me, but directed energy weapons, where they can send from far distances and start fires. You can see they're not hiding it. They have the technology, and so you see that how the Antichrist could have wonders and it can call down fire. Right? It's just a twin to Mount Carmel showdown and the prophets being able to call down fire. It's right there. We don't know what it looks like, but we're seeing it. Even if it's just the real, right, God, make believe man, and then satanic, supernatural. If it's all showing up now, we're seeing it happening in our lifetime. And how we know that, the quote, we've probably heard it three times since it happened, that the Pope will come out of the United States and his uniting the churches back to the daughters back to the mother whore. That's the Pope. This is according to what Brother Branham said, that, and we believe that he's not misspeaking. That's the Lord inspiring him, that this is the man. We're looking at the man that he prophesied 60, 70 years ago that will be the one to figurehead that in our lifetime. And like Brother Jesse said, we could say, well, it didn't happen in 5 years. Oh, it's going to stay the same. And there's where Satan will start muddying the water and say, well, where's the promise of his coming? Where's the promise of this being fulfilled? And yet we know that it's becoming more obvious all the time. And it's saints and young people especially too, is this isn't doomsday. Like, oh man, I guess I'm never going to get married, or I'm never going to have a job, or I'm never going to have that cool car I wanted, or all these different things. That's what I thought when I was young. I was like, am I going to be able to get married? I have so many desires in my heart, and I don't know, should I even save money? That's not what it's about. It's saying that we're looking to Jesus with eager, elated expectation. This isn't scary unless we're not in him. So just get in him and then say, okay, Lord, I want to go in all the way, Lord. And now that I'm there, I'm in eager elation. And so that way I can come with great expectation. So thankful for that. And I know that as ministers, you know, as Spurgeon said in letters to my students, he says, we are the ones that tell the time. We're the ones looking at the clock. And if we're not looking at the clock and we don't know what time it is, we're giving the wrong time. So it's important. It behooves for us to speak of the time and to say, not to say, be afraid and this is a horrible thing, but to be able to say, get into Christ and be eager and excited for what God has for us that's coming together in a powerful way. Another thing I wanted to bring up is, I'm just going to kind of get my feet wet a little bit, so I'm going all over the place, but it's intentional, is that the Lord would help us. I'm not preaching on this tonight, but when we have dry seasons, right now we're kind of in a farmer dry season. I'm sure, Aunt Pam, you remember this from growing up on a farm, is that when you're in that, we're in that dry season with no rain, is that they actually say that the ground can harden to a point where when the rains come, it actually just washes off. And so if you look now, if you're driving, how many likes to when you're out in the countryside, see the tractors? Am I the only tractor? Okay, good. I love tractors. I love watching them out in the fields, just working hard. And right now, they're actually, Seth, they're going over the fields again. They're already tilled, but they're going over them again because they're breaking the fallow ground. And that's that scripture is breaking the hard ground, which reintroduces what moisture is underneath and kind of works it up a bit, but it also keeps it so that the soil isn't compacted, and so it's ready for the rain. So we always want to be ready for the rain, saints of God, right? And so it's just to see there's a physical season going on, and we can see the spiritual application too in our lives. Say, Lord, it kind of hurt a little bit, but praise God, when the rains come, I'll be ready because I'm not going to be hard-hearted or make light of it or whatnot. So praise God. I want to take a little thought tonight on unrighteous busyness versus being about our Father's business. That's a long one, Jesse. So I might have to make that shorter, so I apologize. So with that, let's just all stand and let's go to our Bibles. How many believes for something new tonight? And a reminder too of what we've already known, but to dig deeper into it. So let's go to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to go right to the verse. I want to give read the whole chapter. But it's Wednesday night, and the Lord knows what we can handle. So I might read half the chapter, but first we're going to go right to the verse. And to verse 49, and we know that this is Jesus, when he's 12, parents have worked so hard their whole life to get him to this point, and now they're looking for him. And because he's right where they've been trying to get him, and that's in his Father's business. So verse 49, let's read that all together. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Let's just ask the Lord's blessings. Heavenly Father, we want to be about your business, Lord. And yet sometimes things get mixed up. I get mixed up, Lord, and I'm about my own business. So, Lord, please show us your business and show us a little deeper of how we can be occupied with you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Am I going too fast? I had sugar today, so I apologize. So I was going to fast a little bit, but I was shaky. So then I ate, and then now I'm sugary. So please forgive me. I feel like Nate on a Sunday morning after coffee, so I apologize. So something that we see here for us parents to be encouraged, right, is that if we go into Luke 2 and they bring him to the temple, which is what they were told to do, that was obedience. And you're going to say, well, what does this have to do with busyness and business? We just want to give a picture of what does it mean first, the real, to be occupied, to be set aside, with Christ our example of what it looks like to be prepared for being occupied with what he wants us to be. And we want our children to be that way. We don't want them to say, okay, now we want you to start your own business. We want you to do good in school. We want you to say your Bible verses, and we want to do all these things. But we want them to eventually say, you know, I just really had it on my heart to go talk to my neighbor, friend, about the Lord. Or it just came up, I just really feel strongly I need to do this. And maybe we'll be puzzled, and we're going to get into that a little bit. Isaac. Yeah, Isaac, yes. And that, yeah, that's a good one to bring up. It's for those that saw the signal where Isaac had just really had it strong on his heart to build a cross. And I could just tell it wasn't just a novelty, and he wanted to build it big as Levi's door, and he wanted it to be, he wanted it in the front yard so all the neighbors could see it. And I was thinking, wow, I would never do that. And how can I say no? And how can I explain this to Bethany? Because it was a surprise for her. And so I said, you just got to see his heart and see what it is. And when he helped me build it, and then when it came time to put it, where to put it, he said, right here, Dad, in the front, right in the middle. And he says, okay, Dad. And he went off to the backyard. And he said, tell me when it's done. And hope, Isaac, you don't mind me telling this, because it's just so sweet and wonderful. We're not laughing at you. We're just enjoying you, enjoying Jesus' heart in you. And he said, I want it in the front yard so that everyone can see that we're Jesus. And I say, Lord, that's the heart I want, is, Lord, may I have my life right out in front so that everybody can see I'm Jesus. And even neighbors came over, and right when I'm putting it in the ground, my next door neighbor like just gets home from work, and I'm like, I'm just saying hi and putting it right in the ground, you know. And we live in an age where if you want to make your neighbors mad, just put something in the front yard. That's a symbol, right? And so I'm thinking, and I was kind of like, I started getting on like feeds about what happens when people do this, and it was, hey, my neighbor has a cross in their yard. How do I get them to take it down? And I thought, and it, all of a sudden this narrative started coming over me of, oh no. And then I thought, no, that's not our narrative. This is something, if my neighbor can put up something that's pagan, or my other neighbor can put up something that I don't agree with, then I can boast in the Lord. So, and neighbor chatted, and I explained what the story of my son, and I said, what am I going to say? And he says, yeah, what are you going to say? He's five, and he wants to put a cross up. And so he could even attest to, how can you say no? And so just the Lord used it as a witness with it just being in the ground. So we see this again in Luke chapter 2. I know this is the hope of every mother and father. Is Jesus was presented to the temple in verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And why? Verse 23. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And we know that this is for each one of us, for each one of our children, is that they're separated unto the Lord. They have a purpose that each one of you young people, You're separated for a chosen purpose, each one of you. And it's happening already, and the puzzle pieces are there. And some of the things you're still trying to figure out, and I'm still trying to figure out. But God has a plan. And we see it unfold. And we're going to skip down to verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should see not death before he see the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. So they're only doing a custom of the law in obedience. Then took he up in his arms and blessed him and said, Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And then he prophesies, For thou hast prepared before the face of all people a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Simeon was, verse 34, Simeon blessed them and said unto his mother Mary, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rise again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. So there's a prophecy given to the parents. How many things that we have troubled us where we heard something or a dream or anything like that, we're like, oh my goodness, we don't understand what's going on. And yet the Lord has a purpose for our children. And there was Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. And she was of great age, and she had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she came, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that of them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So it was immediate testimony. The parents, you could say, well, what in the world? But the parents just following a custom that was ordained to lead the children up into the way of the Lord immediately brought some clarity in the purpose of that child to the parents. So us even just bringing our children to church and not understanding things, there can come clarity, and God can give a word for the children of what God has for them. Or they can be a testimony. So we look for these triangulations of the Spirit and these confirmations just from doing our due diligence and the God-met requirements that he has for us to do, and which is wonderful, because so how many of us parents are just scratching our head, okay, what does the Lord have for my child? And when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, so they had followed the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city in Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. There's my timer. Is that my timer? So it's not my timer. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And we can put, and Sophia grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. Oh, that's a good one, because Sophia means wisdom. And the grace of God was upon her. Is that for each one, put your name there. That's God doing. That wasn't just parents. That was God doing it, Ray. 41, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So they did the requirements again. They went every year for the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, okay, I'm reading the whole chapter. I said I wasn't going to do it. I apologize. They went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Again, a custom that was set forth. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And they didn't find him. They turned back to Jerusalem, seeking him. And after, all the parents say, 3 days. He's 12 years old. Do we have any 12-year-olds in here? Zoe, imagine your parents looking for you for 3 days. I can't imagine me looking for Levi for 3 days and not knowing where he is. But I think what's interesting is we know the scripture is that the first thing that the 12-year-old did wasn't say, oh, by the way, sorry, I just had to do what I had to do. It was, hey, in my own words, why did you guess multiple locations of where I of my whereabouts? You've been training me my whole life. You knew that I would be at the house of the Lord. If you look at the it doesn't say verbatim, it's just in KJV, I would be about my Father's business. It is different. It is saying completely occupied with my Father. And if you look up that, it's the originator and transmitter. I am occupied with my originator. I have to be occupied with him. I have to be in connection with him always. And here we see the righteous occupation of our originator, of our source. And we have to, we can't, it's okay. You won't be in trouble, because Brother Branham said it and Jesus did it as our example. If sometimes we steal away, how Brother Branham said, don't tell anyone. Why? Because sometimes if we tell someone, they didn't have context of what's going on. And a lot of times they'll understand and they'll say, okay. But sometimes you just need to steal away for a minute and say, Lord, I need to get with you right now. I feel I need to be occupied with you in this moment and steal away. And I was meditating on this because we get really busy, and it's we as ministers justify our busyness and your busyness. And we applaud your being busy and responsible. And so we're going to kind of talk about that a little bit of what is it, why is it that we get too busy, or it seems like we feel guilty for being busy, and how it falls into minutia. So he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Or in the ESV it says, wouldn't you know I would be at my Father's house? And verse 50, if you have it, read that out loud. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And so there's times where I pray, even though I don't necessarily want it, want to not understand, but I pray for those days when my children say something that the Lord is leading them to do, and I don't understand it. Because it's from him as a source. He's occupying their hearts. He's occupying their time. And they're saying, I need to do this, Dad. And I don't understand it, and I just need to let the Lord do it. And for us to say, mission accomplished, rather than saying, do you know what's going on? Because it's, again, 3 days later, there wasn't any hugs. It was just necessarily, but it was a question, why did you look for me in many places? Why did you have to guess, basically, that I have to be doing, I have to be occupied with my Father? And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was subject unto them. So this wasn't a ticket for you young people to just say, yay, I can use this. Parents, I got to go, because I think the Lord's just saying I got to do it. Well, you got to do the take out the trash first, Matthew. Well, nope. So we know that there's the balance of it. That he was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. We see that process happening, growing up. And you can put that in there for yourself, young people, and all of us alike. Lord, increase us in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Praise God. So, Wiest is so good on this. And all who were listening to him were astounded to the point of a mental imbalance at his grasp and comprehension, and his ability to give them answers which exhibited a discriminating private judgment. And having seen him, they were struck with astonishment to the point of a loss of self-control. That's hard to tell in the Wiest. 47, I believe. And to think that's okay. How many people, so when we witness and it's Jesus coming through us, it will have the same effect, is that when we're occupied with saying, I have to share this, sometimes it's just a mental imbalance and awestruck, and that is mission accomplished. It's not, I like it when someone talks back to me or tells me, hey, that was great, I understand, totally get it, or boy, I don't know, tell me more. But when someone just says, like my wife says, Stephen, I just need to think about it for a minute. Imagine that. So how that, for us to realize that sometimes we'll have times when we're witnessing, when we're occupied with the Lord speaking through us, that sometimes it looks like failure, but it's actually that they're gobstopped. They're so overwhelmed with the truth that God has pushed through us or has worked through us with. What a wonderful thing. I'm going to read on. And his mother said to him, my child, why did you treat us in this manner? Behold, your father and I are searching constantly for you, being in anguish. And he said unto them, why is that you are searching for me? Had you not known that it is necessary in the nature of the case for me to be occupied in the things of my father? Occupied in the things of my father. However, they themselves did not understand what he had said to them, and he went down with them to Nazareth and subjected himself in constant obedience to them. And, okay, last week's line. And Jesus kept on hewing a pioneer path ahead, making steady progress in wisdom and maturity and in favor in the presence of God and with men. So it was... We're all pioneers. And how many times, even for the young people, especially the young sisters, you are a trendsetter for your neighbor girls. When they're like, oh, like the kids at school would say to Bethany, are you Amish? I can see some reactions. Is that you're here, you are showing the glory and the character and the obedience of Jesus, and it's so pioneering. It's hewing a path in front of you that defines what God loves to see in you, and it's wonderful. And for the young men, for us to keep our talking clean and our actions clean, and to not laugh at the dirty jokes. And I'm seeing it more and more that there's a stark contrast between an unpierced, untattooed young man that's going to have his pants pulled up and isn't smoking or drinking or always cussing all the time, and that doesn't complain about everything and isn't toxic in the workplace. You see that and you say, they probably are a Christian because they don't have any of that. And so we see that we're pioneers, but it's Jesus through us. Amen. And I was thinking about this. So now we kind of talk about a little bit about the unrighteousness of being busy. And there's a word for busy in the scripture. It means to toil, trouble, labor. It can even mean mischief. It means vexation, a longing, a striving. So we see this. We are laboring, and it's part of the curse. We're under the curse by the sweat of our brow, and all of us. And it's amazing that God said, I'm going to make that your responsibility to be laboring. So let's put that right here. That's my overhead projector representation of labor. And that we have to do that. And then we have to be occupied with Christ, the things of the Lord. And what happens, we all know this, is if we get stuck in labor, now our mindset becomes so practical that when Jesus says, hey, I want you to be occupied with me, we say, not a priority. That's not a priority. I have so many things to do. And we see this, I'm sure you're already thinking of Martha, or maybe the invitation to the wedding supper. I was just about to have dinner. I just bought a new car, and I got to do an oil change, and I gotta do some maintenance. Oh, I just bought some awesome oxen, and I can't just leave them because they have to get their shots, and they got to do all, right? And so it's this, I'm caught between the curse of labor and this vexation thing that I have to do. And it's, you know, we're worse than infidels if we don't do it to provide. And then occupation of being about his business. And I think this is really important because Satan says, oh, good job. That's great. That's all you have to, you know what, you met your requirements. Praise God. And yet we have to be able to say, like Brother Branham said, I got so busy doing something as simple. Let's just use this as an example. How he said, I was just trying to get the fire going. And the Lord kept saying, will you pray? So here he is. The house is cold. It's so cold. He says, like, he's like blowing on his fingers because he's so cold in the house. And he's trying to get it warm for his family. And the Lord says, higher priority, occupation with me. We would say, no, that's not the Lord, because we got to keep our families warm. He's getting up early in the morning. He's making sure, and it's so cold, it's probably 30 degrees at least, that cold. So he's doing the right thing, and he says every time he tried to light the fire, the downdraft would come out and blow the fire out. Try again, and he just kept, Lord, no, you got to wait because I got to do this. And he says finally, after three or four times, he drops the labor, the vexation, getting more vexed, and then said, okay, Lord, I need to put you first. I need to occupy and start with that first. And this is the key, is that I think sometimes we think, seek ye first the kingdom of God in life, and all the things will be added to you, meaning wealth and amazing things, and all these things will drop down over the time in life, versus to say, seek ye at 5 a.m. or seek ye 20 minutes before you start the responsibilities, no matter how much they are, the kingdom of God. Say, Lord, I acknowledge you in all my ways. Please direct my paths. Please, I'm looking to you. And it's not an hour and a half prayer. It's just, Lord, I am taking you to this labor. Please, I can't do it without you. Even if it's just that simple thing to be able to say this. And so we see again, it's being able to not mix up the priorities. to not, because we know that what happened with Martha, and we love Martha because we have all been Martha. And I'm just going to, you don't have to go there. I'm just going to read like three verses, 38 through 42, four verses. Now it came to pass, Luke 10:38. Now it came to pass, as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. I was thinking of that verse, Brother Don, that quote you sent, or the translation of "Be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing." And I was thinking about this. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She was occupied. She was busy. Mary was too busy to help Martha. What an opposite narrative. We don't hear this. What if there was this would be a really good children's book, Eliana, is Mary was too busy to help Martha. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus said unto her, "Martha, Martha, Mary, get up and help her. She's been working so hard, and good job, Mary." Or good job, Martha. No, he said, "Thou art careful and troubled about many things." And that word careful, we know, means anxious and troubled. To be troubled with cares. She had something that was such a high priority. Again, remember the two things. So she was in that labor, vex. I have to do this. When a person comes to my house, I have to host. My mom told me, my grandma told me, my great grandma, everybody, I have to host. That's the righteous thing to do. And for some reason, her sister knew that too. So that would be interesting to know how she got that out of her mind, Mary. And it says, and to be troubled with cares, to care for, to look out for a thing, to seek to promote one's interests. How many times do I wake up in the morning and I say, what do I want to do today? What do I want to be busy with today? Because that's all it is saying, I have this 12 hours and I want to be busy with something. What should I be busy with? And so it was just, you are careful and troubled about many things. You are occupied with even self-interests. Ouch. And to promote one's interests. How many times, hey, let me tell you what I got to do today. I'm going to tell you so much. I'm going to promote how important it is. So you know, and you should probably clap, at how important this is, what I got to do today, Noah. Wow, think about that. The flip side, when we're occupied with the Lord, and he wants us to promote his interests. How many things that he's saying, I will declare your name among the heathen, your mighty acts among the heathen, and how that we are promoting him when we're about his business. To be it means also to be troubled in mind, disquieted. Okay, someone, Derek, look up turbid. Do you know what? What does turbid mean, Derek? This is an example to say. So it means, can somebody look it up? Does anybody? I'll keep going. Peter's going to look it up. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So she had to choose. We have to choose. We have to choose. Peter. Yes. Or thick with suspended matter. Cloudy, opaque. thick with suspended matter. So we see a fog. We see overcast. How many cartoons would be the mom? And she's vacuuming, and she's flipping a pan with the other hand, and she's wiping the baby's mouth and this and that, and she's doing everything she's supposed to do, but it's creating the vexation of labor. It's now creating turbid clouds, fog, because that's what it does. It's vexing. It can be delightful too, but sometimes it's vexing, right, Anna? And I get this way too. And hey, can I help Dad? Oh, you know what? Actually, this is enough. Rather than actually forget it. One thing is needful to spend time with my children too, and to be able to do that, and not just, I have to do this thing. I am occupied. I'm going to promote. You know how much stuff I have to do, Levi? Do you know how many things I have on my list? So it's amazing how it does. It's not even just a spiritual application, right, Seth? It's that we have to also look at it as to be able to drop what we have to do and be able to care for each other. So we see, again, that it can be a cloudy thing, and yet, like Brother Branham, when we can come to the Lord first, all the clouds dissipate, and we can see, we can grow in wisdom, which is seeing through the clouds of nonsense with what we're supposed to be occupied with. So that's the key thing, saints, is that difference between this fog in between our labor and our occupation with the Lord is to be able to say, Lord, pull back all the turbid cloudiness and let us see what you want for us. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. So, and Satan wants to get us into this place, as we see. This is from a prophet like unto Moses. I'm afraid that we people have seen God come down in his power and save the lost, fill with the Holy Ghost those who are seeking, and heal the sick, until it's become a common thing to us. We fail to get past the beautiful expressions of the Holy Spirit when he brings his power among us and we see his beauty, watching him work, knowing that that's the savior of our soul, the only real thing that's left in this world we can hold on to. And we've heard about healings, and there's how many have been healed even here tonight? And it becomes common. And Brother Branham so many times typifies someone knocking at the door, right? And it's priorities. I remember, I may have mentioned it before, Hussein Bolt, the world's fastest man. And he says, there are three things. If you can do these three things, your life will be so much better. Number one, get your priorities straight. Number two, it was take vitamin N. Learn to say no. And number three, never complain. And just doing those three things in my life has helped me so much, because I get scatterbrained. And they say that, I don't claim to be ADHD, but you can make up your own mind for yourself. But is they say people that are like that are stimulated by sensory experience. So if I was really high on a spectrum, I'd say, oh, there's a guitar. Man, I want to play that guitar. Rather than focusing on what I'm occupied with. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because Satan is doing so many things to retrain our brain that I'm trying to get from point A to point B, and God has told me to do it. And how many times in Scripture is, I have a word for you. Oh, well, what's that over there? Oh, no, okay, you heard that from the Lord, but I have a word from the Lord, Seth. And if you do this, you'll come in and eat. Oh, you're probably really hungry, right? And we're about the Father's business, but all of a sudden now something else comes up shiny or looks like the Lord. And I remember Brother Greg preaching so many times on finding the will of the Lord. And what is it? It's finding what he wants. Finding what he wants. That's his business. So, oh my goodness, it's almost 9 o'clock. So quickly, is that for us to realize to set a course and be focused and be steadfast and to keep our mind quiet and confident, which gives us strength. And we know that Satan is coming in an attacking way, and he's trying to get us off of the most important lover of our soul that says, I'm waiting to have time to spend time with you. If something happened in our nation to thrill us, they were going to cut taxes or something like that, we would be talking about it everywhere. But Christ comes and saves a soul and gives them eternal life, and we walk away if it's a common thing, as if it's a common thing. As the conversation went on, it must have been Satan who looked out from behind the clouds and said, I've caught them alone. He's not with them. Now is my time. And that's the way Satan walks, how he watches. That's the opportunity he waits for us to get. One time we go out and went, what we call a little social fun or play cards or attend some rally or something that isn't godly, and he catches us off guard and waits to a place where the church has got lukewarm. It's got too busy doing something else. That's when he attacks. So when we are so occupied, now he can say, okay, responsibility, responsibility. Oh, let me add on another responsibility. You know, like, it's responsible for you to take care of yourself. So let's go do a little fun thing. That's not a fun thing. That's all of a sudden now it's an escapism. Like Brother Bram said about the man of Gadara, how he said he had some little family somewhere, and somehow instead of dealing with a problem, he went to some bar somewhere. And now he didn't escape. He said, oh, I'm so busy and I'm so stressed and I'm taking care of my family. I just gotta, oh, my wife had something. I just gotta take a load off. And now all of a sudden that's where Satan can come in and get us occupied with him. He's away from them, and now it's my opportunity to strike. And getting men in there who is a little smarter, maybe working in the church and whatnot. And he says, but we find out we've went off without the old-fashioned tarrying meetings, the old-fashioned Pentecostal blessings that used to fall among us. Satan catches you off guard. That's where he wants you, off guard. So for us, he's saying this of saying we got to be sober and we've got to be vigilant. And how many know this is when we're on a task, we have to stay uninterrupted, but we also have to watch out for the attack of the enemy when we're really spent, when we're really burnt out. There's so many times where Satan has actually tried to get me to step away from ministry because I was occupied with trying to be busy for the Lord with my will to serve him. But that will fail because it's my will to serve him. And I'm saying, hey, Lord, I want to do you a favor. I'm gonna serve you with what I think you want me to do. And then Satan's like, yes, now I'm going to get him so exhausted because it's not God's power, it's Stephen's power to serve God. And now I'm not occupied with the things of him as a source, it's Stephen as a source to serve God. How Andrew Murray says that we come to God with our renewed will to serve God rather than his power, his will to do. So it's so important, saints of God, not just to say, okay, Lord, I acknowledge you in all my ways, please direct my path, give me wisdom, but to say, Lord, I need your power, I need your will, I need your patience, I need all the fruits of your spirit, because halfway through the day, I will fail. I will be exhausted. I was telling Nate this story. There's this old bearded guy that comes in to pick up donations at Costco, and he has a thing called Homeless Helping Homeless. And he says, I was asking him about his walk with the Lord and how he came to the Lord and things and how he helps homeless people. Because I said, there's so many homeless people even in St. Cloud. They'll be like, veteran, give what you can, and they're not veterans. And I'm like, how do you not have a bad attitude and this and that? And he said, well, one time, he said, I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, they're your children, but they sure are being naughty. They're sure acting up right now. And what do I give them? What do I do? And he said, the Lord told him, give them my love. Love, he said, love them. So 2 weeks later, he was more exasperated than ever. And he said, Lord, I do not like them at all. And I'm so at my wit's end. And he says, well, that's because you're using your love. And you don't have any love left. You just ask for my love. It's unlimited. And he says, ever since then, I haven't had that same problem. Now I have his love, and it's unlimited. And it's, I wish we could just, sometimes, I wish I, as a faith, could be real eyeballs so that we could see, oh my goodness, what's this tall tower reservoir that's just full of love right there? Right, Laura? And it would be white. And it has the spigot, and we could just fill up a spigot. Oh, I'm full of love. Praise God. I was almost out. And so for us to realize that his love has no limits, and that's when I worked with Dave hanging gutters, the first thing we did was we backed up the truck to the pole barn, and we got all of our supplies. And then when we got to the job, it was all there. And how many times do we start out saying, okay, I'm going to do my business. Lord, I'm going to do your business. And all of a sudden, we get to the job and we go, where are the supplies, Lord? But it says he daily loads us with benefits. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. But so we have to start just like Brother Branham on our knees in front of a cold fireplace to be able to say, Lord, I need 900 feet of gutter. I need 80,000 gallons of love. I need 20,000 gallons of patience. I want to not fail by the end of the day, 80 miles away from the supply line. Thank God the supply line is always with us, saints of God. This is from Taken from Crazy Busy, the book. Busyness kills more Christians than bullets. How many sermons are stripped of their power by lavish dinner preparations or football? How many moments of pain are wasted because we never sat still enough to learn from them? How many times of private and family worship have been crowded out by soccer and school projects? We need to guard our hearts. The seed of God's word won't grow to fruitfulness without pruning for rest, quiet, and calm. And it's such a paradigm, young people, to think if you have 50 things to do today, you need to have more time in stillness, asking God how to do it better and saying, equip me to do it more in a way that's wise. Okay, musicians, if you could come. We'll get this wrapped up. So we just don't want to be the wrong kind of busy, to where we never have to be unoccupied with the Lord. We can always have the righteous busyness, the responsible labor, and him supplying for both, so we are not caught in confusion. We just need to, quote here from Hear His Voice. Pastor, don't you never get too busy, but what you can stay in the presence and listen for his voice. And it can take 5 minutes. God always keeps his word, and no matter how bad the times may be, how much your church may teach against it, Jesus Christ is still willing to speak that still small voice to anyone that will listen for him. He's still ready to do it if we just quieten ourselves. And that's when we steal away and hear his voice and be about his business. Amen. Praise God. Could we just sing that song in D? Teach me thy ways, O Lord. Amen. Teach me thy ways, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Let's just all stand this evening.
Oh, singing, teach me thy ways, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth.
Want to speak something to all, to know that, to be encouraged, is I don't think anyone here tonight is saying I want to be worldly busy. I don't think anyone's saying tonight I don't have time for Jesus. But to be encouraged to know that there's so much more that God has for us. It's not saying rules, you must be about his business. Yeah. It's being able to say there's so much more than you've ever tasted. When we can just be still and say, Lord, you said you could speak to me. And it's not something, as a young person even, I thought, okay, well, I have to do all these things. No, just shut your door. Get, kneel beside your bed. Get quiet for a few minutes and say, Lord, and open your Bible, maybe have a notebook right there and say, Lord, just say something to me. I need you. And it says, if you seek him, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. This isn't a you better shape up or else you're going to miss it. This is a, I know your heart's desire is to be about his business and to be in his house, to be about our Father. We love our Father. And for to be encouraged that he has so much more for us, that he has so much power, so we're not halfway into 3:30 p.m. and saying, I don't know if I have enough today. But to be encouraged that there's unlimited enoughness that God has for each one of us. To be encouraged, saints, this is something to encourage your heart, to say, Lord, I don't want to be caught in the fog. I want to be caught up in love with you. Praise God. I just hope that's a blessing tonight. Brother Greg, would you close in a word of prayer?
Gracious Lord, I know all of us have struggles trying to keep balance between busyness and waiting on you. But Lord, we know that the wisdom is to always wait. Even you say to pray without ceasing. Father, we thank you for the exhortation tonight. We know, Lord, we've got this confidence, and that is whatever you lead us to do, you provide, and to always trust. And so, Lord, I pray that even as we meditate on these things, Lord, let us truly repent. Repent of busyness. Let us repent of anything, Lord, that is between us and you.
Yes, Lord.
Your prophet said anything between us and you is an idol, however noble that thing might be.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we are the bride of Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we are called.
Yes,
Lord. Called to do your will. We are called to be fully yielded to you. And Lord, if you called it, Lord,
yes, Lord,
we know, Lord, that it will happen.
Yes, Lord.
For this is a promise. Your word is perfect. Your ways are perfect. And you who've made us, Lord, not we ourselves.
That's right, yes, Lord.
And you've made us unto praise. You made us.
Yes.
To magnify you, to bring glory to your name. We are vessels. So use these vessels, each one, Father, and help each one draw us, as the Bible says, draw us and we shall run after thee.
Yes, Lord, please.
Not by our own strength or our own merit, Lord, it's by your grace working in us. And Lord, we delight, Father, to do your will. Help us to that end in that regard, Father, and be with each one of us as we go. In this we pray, we ask it in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Be encouraged, saints. God bless you. Amen.